Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Exodus chapter 5 tonight. Exodus chapter 5. I've been reading in this particular passage in my own personal devotions, and the Lord laid on me some thoughts that I want to share with you over the next few weeks as we have times together. And I'm going to begin a short series called Heart Disease. Heart Disease. As I've studied the Word of God, I'm more convinced than ever that many of our churches are filled with people that are suffering from heart disease. Their heart somehow is not in tune with God's heart. Their heart is in tune with the world, and that indicates a disease, if that's the case. And God wants us to have a heart for Him. Amen? Over and over again in the book of Proverbs, you say, "My son, give me thine heart." That was the cry of the writer of Proverbs to his son. "Son, give me your heart." That's what every parent desires from their children, that they would just listen and give their heart, because the parents are more concerned than anybody else for their children, and specifically for their spiritual needs. Sadly, though, there are some that don't give their hearts to their parents, first of all, and to the Lord. And they suffer from heart disease. You know, I can't think of anything more terrible than heart disease, because there's no repairing the heart in that particular mode unless you're given a new one. And the beauty of salvation in Jesus Christ is that God doesn't simply repair your heart. He gives you a what? A new one. The Bible makes that very clear in Ezekiel chapter 36, where He told in the New Covenant language, said, "I'm going to take away your heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh." In other words, there's nothing I can do for your heart of stone. That must be discarded. I'm going to give you a new heart. A new heart that's not riddled with disease. A heart that's not hardened toward my truth, but rather a heart that's warm and alive and vibrant and wants to have your heart given to me. That's what the Lord desires. As I've read the book of Exodus, over and over again you find the expression that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And that expression is used in other places in the Bible, but I want us to focus on these chapters here in the book of Exodus and do a little mini-series on what I'm calling heart disease. And I hope and pray that as we study this together, we can pull together some lessons that will be helpful. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." As a man thinketh, where? In his heart. The real you, where you think, is an indication of what you are. And so I want to look at a few things as we begin this. We just saw Proverbs 23 and verse 7, but there's another verse of Scripture that our students memorized here at Santa Rosa Christian School last school year. And we, in chapel times, we would say it together. Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the what? Issues of life." All right? The life issues flow from the heart. So I ask this question tonight as we begin, what kind of heart do I have? You know, Paul said we ought to examine ourselves. On a regular basis, we ought to examine ourselves. And that's a medical term, by the way. It's the idea of being very careful in the exam. Way back in the 1980s, we used to have CPR lessons that lasted 12 hours. It was a two-day, 6 hours per day. Anybody remember those days, the old CPR training? And one of the things that they did, it was basically we were being taught to be paramedics almost. They had what was known as the secondary survey. Once you did the primary survey where you check the heart, you check for breathing, you check for open wounds, any bleeding, things of that nature. Once that was done, you went to the secondary survey. Now, they've done away with that now, and for good reason. Because the secondary survey, if the person was alert, you started down at their toes and you started to feel and started to check things, and that kind of got personal. What is my purpose? I'm just trying to help the person be alive. It's not my job to determine what a doctor is supposed to do, right? Now, they said the reason that they wanted us to do that is in a secondary survey, and they used to quiz us on that. You had to ask certain questions, starting at the feet, and then you moved up the leg into the knees and into the hips and into the chest and then to the shoulders and arms and the head and so forth like that. And by that time, the person would have expired while you're getting all that information, all right, or bored to tears, okay? There's nothing wrong with me, all right? That was good. So they did away with that. Liability issues, you can see the problems that were there. But their statement was, we want to be absolutely thorough and catch something that may be life-threatening. Now, I understand that. But isn't that the role of a doctor? And by the way, who is the great physician? You know, as a God-called pastor and preacher, my job is to communicate God's Word. It's not my job to be the Holy Spirit, though. There are some preachers that don't understand their role. They think it's their job to get into the intimate details of everybody in their church and know everything that's going on. That's the work of the Holy Spirit! The preacher is to proclaim the Word and let God do the work in the heart. He did not say in 2 Timothy, preach yourself to the people. No, it says, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. All right? Preach the Word. That's the job of a pastor. But who saves sinners? Preachers don't. You don't. All we do is communicate the truth, and God takes the Word and does the work in the life. It's not my job to go into the intimate details of your family and know everything that's going on. That's not my job. That's the work of God in your life. Can we trust the Holy Spirit to do His work? A lot of preachers can't, because they're too busy being the Holy Spirit. They're too busy finding mates for all their people in their church. Because you have to go through the pastor in order to be able to know who your mate's going to be. By the way, most of the preachers that I've known that have been like that, they're not very good at picking. All right? There's just one thing. They're not omniscient. They're not omniscient. They are what? Limited. Who is omniscient? The Holy Spirit of God. All right? So we get confused in our roles, do we not? So many times. We think it's our role to be the Holy Spirit. We need to expose other people's sins, and we need to get into the details of their lives. Well, by the way, who's doing your life? You don't need to worry about that. Oh, yes, we better. Yes, we better. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is the one that convicts of sin. Amen? He convinces the world of three things: sin, righteousness, and what else? Judgment. Nowhere in that verse does it say Pastor Todd Brainerd also has that responsibility. That's the Holy Spirit's work. My job is to find out what my role is as a preacher, and I get that from the Word of God. But I'm not to cross over into the work of the Trinity in people's lives. Now, I've said that because the heart of mankind is hidden from me. I can see some measure of how people think and how people act and the decisions that they make and the choices, and I can look and say, that was not wise. That was a foolish choice that they made. In some instances, I may come up with a determination and be dead wrong. You know, preachers can be wrong. Pastors can be wrong. Boy, a collective sigh goes across. Well, I thought my pastor was infallible. I thought he knew everything. No! Don't ever think that about a human being. Think that about God. Think about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but don't think about that for human beings. That's how cults are formed. You understand that? That's how cults are formed. They start following a person. Oh, they're infallible. And then these preachers start thinking, when they get their honorary doctorate, well, I could, man, I've been recognized. So now I'm the great physician. There was a preacher up in West Virginia, got an honorary doctorate, and you know what he started doing? He borrowed a prescription pad from a local doctor and he started writing prescriptions for people in his church. Till he got arrested. You know, that's illegal. But he had an honorary doctorate. And in his mind, he had jumped the shark. He was now the great physician. And so he had his people call him. You need something? I'll write your prescription. I've got a doctorate. The man was messed up. He was messed up before, during, and after his honorary doctorate. Okay? But we got to be careful about these things, folks. Amen? Keep thy heart with all diligence. It doesn't matter how you've been recognized. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart are the issues of life. And so you better be watching your heart. It doesn't matter who you are. Well, I've been saved for 60 years. You have to watch your heart every day, every hour, because it can be corrupt. You could be suffering from heart disease. That means that we have to look at ourselves honestly through the eyes of the Word, not look at ourselves through our own eyes and say, well, I'm pretty good compared to the Word. Oh, no, 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 no. Let the Word of God do the exposing. Let the great physician tell you what your heart is like. What condition you are in. Do you trust your doctor? I got a message from my doctor this week. Don't forget to take your flu shot. I've been doing this for many, many years now. So I called up my son. I said, can you work me in for a flu shot? So I went down there and I sat down in a chair and they gave me a flu shot. And I said, is it going to work this year? Well, we do the best we can. There's three strains in this particular shot and we think you'll do all right. Well, so far I've done fairly well. I haven't had a lot of problems with flu over the last, I don't know how many years I've been doing, 8 or 9 years that I've been taking flu shots. But I want to tell you right now, my shoulder is killing me. It is so tender. I got that shot and it feels like a knot is right there. Over the next few days, it'll go away and I'll be all right. But I trusted my doctor. He told me, you're diabetic, type 1. You need to go ahead and get your flu shot. So I went down there and did that. Now, if I start thinking that I'm the doctor, yes, that doctor doesn't know anything. Yeah, he just went and trained for, 6 or 7 years and was recognized by the board. He doesn't know anything. But me, I know all there is to know. I read the 2022 Almanac. It has all those remedies in there. How many of you follow strictly what the Almanac says about all the remedies for sicknesses and stuff like that? I'm going to tell you something. You'll be in the hospital. Whew. They've got some of those things. You know, take a spoonful of kerosene, mix a little lemon with it, and it'll take away the hurts in your joints. It'll take away more than that. It won't hurt because you're going to be dead. Yeah, but that's Almanac. The Almanac said to do that. You know, let's step back for just a moment. Don't ever forget who the great physician is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He can tell you what your heart is like right now if you'll let Him. But if you built up this wall of resistance, you're suffering from heart disease. Spiritual heart disease, because you've told God, and I can discern my own situation. I'm pretty smart. I can discern my own spiritual situation, and it's pretty good, God. I really don't need your help. You're in the throes of heart disease, and you don't even know it. That's the worst part. How many people have died after being told, hey, you need to do something about this. This is pretty serious. I don't need to worry about that. I talked to so-and-so the other day, and they told me they were diagnosed with that. They didn't do anything, and they're fine. Is that how we doctor each other now? We talked to a friend who had a similar situation, and because they didn't have it, I'm not going to have it. Does that make any sense in anybody's world? No. No, it doesn't. And it doesn't make any sense to go against God's Word, and that's what Pharaoh did. Pharaoh, the leader of the known world, it went to his head. It went to his head, and he hardened his heart, and he paid for it dearly. Heart disease. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Two statements come to mind as we begin this study that I want to leave you with. We're not going to get very far tonight, but there's two important statements. Number one, anyone can develop spiritual heart disease. Anyone. I'm very fair-skinned, so I have to be careful. When I go out in the sun, I have to be careful. I don't run around in shorts. I don't run around in tank tops. First of all, I'd scare the living daylights out of anybody that saw me. Okay? It would be a natural repulsion to any robberies or any would-be thieves that would come at me because one glare and they'd be knocked to the ground. I just don't do that. I have to be careful when I'm out in the sun. I was talking to someone this week that told me that they had melanoma cancer. And I said, you're not the type of person that walks around, you know, like that. You're covered up all the time. I said, I still have it. Still have it. A propensity. Now, you can do all the right things, quote unquote, and still have heart disease. Been a lot of people surprised. I'll never forget, this was a number of years ago during the Blue Angel Marathon. We had a doctor in Pensacola that had run in marathons, including the Boston Marathon and several others around our country. Very fit, trim. He had a massive heart attack on the bridge over Pensacola. Had a heart attack on the bridge, died at age 40. He was a man that had, his body mass was perfect. He was a runner. He was an exercise nut. And he died at age 40. You can do all the right things and think to yourself, well, I'm going to live to be 100. You're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. You're allowing your heart to dictate your speech. And what you need to do is let the Word of God dictate your speech. Because God may not want you to live to be 100. He may know you're going to be a pest. And He wants to take you on to glory. Do you know God can do that? He can take people on to glory. He's done that before. People that turn out to be a major problem, and God says, all right, I'm going to go ahead and take you home. Take you home. Move you off the scene. God can do that if He chooses. It's not always a blessing to wish to live to be 100. Now, there are some people that are just jewels. I think about Beth's uncle. He's 98. You talk about a jewel. I mean, a godly man, loves the Lord, prays. You come into his house and he puts his arm around you and he starts praying for your soul. He's just a God. He's a blessing at 98. And then you meet the curmudgeons. Woo! Buddy. If things don't happen within a millisecond, look out. Your lunch is going to be handed to you as well as your head. Because they're not going to have it. All right? Now, wait a minute. What kind of a person do you want to be? You know what the difference is? Right here. Spiritual heart. spiritual heart. Let God do a work in your heart. And then you can be a blessing at any age. Amen? You can be a blessing at any age. You suffer from heart disease, and you won't be a blessing at any age. You won't be, because your heart is diseased. So it can happen to anyone. And here's what's dangerous about it. Think about this. Look at that second one for just a moment before I say it. It happens gradually. It happens gradually. Arteries don't clog overnight. You know, get the cholesterol going, and it takes years for the blockage to come. And then it could be the widowmaker. But it happened over a long period of time. And the same thing is true in the spiritual life, folks. It can be a long period of time going on. Little things that the Word of God doesn't control in my life. No, I'm not going to have that. I'm just going to do my own thing. That thing will build up. Before long, you have heart disease and you don't even know it. It's been going on for a long time. And you've stopped being a blessing to the church of God. You've become a problem in the church of God. Heart disease. This passage of Scripture, Exodus 5 through 12, is a classic on a man who had convinced himself he was all right. I'm the king. I'm the ruler of Egypt. People come to me. I have the power of life and death. He was a fool because he suffered from heart disease and he didn't know it. I want to share with you just a few of these tonight. We've got just about 8 minutes left. Number one, I've got five telltale signs of heart disease. Now, I did not get these out of the New England Journal of Medicine. You won't be able to find them there. This is out of the Bible, from the book of Exodus, that I want to share these with. Number one of the ways you know you have heart disease is that you struggle with God's authority. Can I say that again? One of the ways you know that you've got heart disease is you struggle with God's authority in your life. You like calling the shots. I don't want God calling the shots in my life. I've got plans. I've got things I'm going to do. I've got desires for my children. And God's not going to call the shots in that. I'm going to call the shots in that. You're struggling with God's authority in your life. And that's a telltale sign you have heart disease. Struggling with God telling you what to do. But that's how things work in God's universe, amen? Boy, you think about all the different individuals throughout the Bible that God spoke to, and they had the right response. Remember Isaiah? Hear my Lord. Hear my Lord. Use me. Isaiah chapter 6. Oh, there were others. There were others. There were some that kicked against the pricks, like Saul. Remember that? Boy, he kicked against pricks. God was pulling and was calling him, and he was fighting every step of the way. But whenever he finally submitted to God's authority and got saved, what a difference. He went from killing Christians to being one. He went from trying to destroy the work of God to building up the work of God. That's when your heart gets replaced and you get a new one. Praise God. You're not a problem anymore. You don't have heart disease because God gave you a new one. Number one, and I put this out first because this is important. Would you look at verse 2 of Exodus chapter 5? And Pharaoh said, now remember verse 1, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, what did he say? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. He had a major problem. Who is this Lord? I don't know him. You know, there are a lot of people in churches across America and around the world that think that same way. Who is the Lord that he should tell me what to do? I'm good at what I do. I don't need God to tell me what to do. I'm good at what I do. And some of them wear the cloak of Christianity. They talk about God and they talk about all the right things, but they have a real problem with authority, God's authority. You know, the pathway of living for Christ is not always paved with niceties. I think about Charles Spurgeon, who every year had to go to Mentone, France. You know why he went there? He wasn't vacationing on the Riviera. He was going there because he could not breathe in London. Because of the factories that were going, he had a serious lung problem that nearly killed him. So he went to the south of France, to the Mediterranean, so he could breathe again. By the way, that's where he died. He died in 1892 at 56. His lungs were coated with the soot of London from the factories, from the chimneys, and so forth. He had grown up in that. He had preached in that. He had ministered to people in that, and it cost him his life. That's not easy. Charles, you're dying. You need to go to France. Get there on the salt air. It will help your lungs. And so he began to do that, but it didn't spare his life. The cost had already been paid. There are many people, we could go down the list of the Bible characters, whose lives were difficult. And some people struggle with God telling them to do things that make their life difficult. And so they back out, and then they have to live with the consequences of that. Because your authority is not good enough. Your choice making is not good enough. It never matches God's. Amen? Never matches God's. You have a telltale sign if you reject God's authority. And by the way, rejection is not necessarily outright, well, I'm not going to do what God says. It can be more sinister than that. It can be more deceiving than that. You can actually deceive yourself and say, I am submitting to God's authority, when you're not. You're lying to yourself. You've got to watch for that. So the first sign that I see here in the text here of this heart disease and Pharaoh's situation, who is this Lord that I should obey? This voice, his voice to let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their work get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their business. And so we see the complications that come. Was it easy for the Israelites to follow God? No. Was it easy for Moses and Aaron to have to go before Pharaoh and plead the cause of the Israelite before a man with such a heart? What was this rooted in? Pharaoh had a big problem with this God, and he wanted nothing to do with him. He wanted no power greater than himself. I hope as we continue these that we'll have a better understanding of our own heart. Listen to this statement by educator Stephen Covey. This is very good. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap your destiny. That's the process, folks, of heart disease. That's the process. In none of that do you see allowing God to work. It's just a person living life in America. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, you've laid this message on my heart, and I pray that you might use it for your glory to work in all of our hearts. You've told us in your word in Proverbs 4 that we are to keep our heart with all diligence. We're to be careful. We're to diligently watch over our heart because it's easy to allow it to become disease-ridden by following the world, by following contemporary religion, by doing things that other quote-unquote Christians do instead of allowing the Word of God to dictate how we should live. Father, I pray that you would do a gracious work tonight in our hearts to do a full heart exam to see whether we're riddled with disease. And if that's the case, dear Father, I pray that we might call upon thy name because only you can do a heart transplant. Only you can take away that heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh that wants to follow after thee. Lord, I pray that you do a spiritual work tonight in our hearts. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.